The documentary How to Die in Oregon premieres tonight on HBO. The film follows a woman named Cody Curtis as she suffers from liver cancer and ultimately makes the decision to end her life. It's a very painful subject, yet critics have described this documentary as uplifting and even life-affirming. Peter Richardson is the director of How to Die in Oregon. He joined us recently to speak about the film with Stan Curtis, who's the husband of the woman in the film. Most people might be able to imagine what would lead someone to make the same decision that Cody Curtis did. But we started by asking Stan, what led his wife to let a documentary film crew record the last few months of her life, which were so painful and emotionally difficult?
Well, she was actually a lecturer on the good and bad and the ugly at Oregon Health Sciences on medical topics. And she's quite artistic, and I think she really appreciated meeting Peter and the integrity he had in the way he interacted with the family. And so I think she thought this was a chance to make it more meaningful and supportive of the family, and doing by example, helping others talk about it and think about it to the fullest and make it the most meaningful. And Peter did a beautiful job of capturing that.
Was it difficult for you, though? I mean, number one, obviously your wife's decision to end her life medically, but also this decision to have that recorded by film. Was that tough for you?
Well, the decision itself was something that we all supported Cody's choice. That was her call. And then the decision to do the film, we actually were opposed to. I wanted to make sure it was a family story, not a Michael Moore story, but Cody said it's going to be fine, and so we wanted to support and make the Cody party, the Cody story, the family story really work.
That's Stan Curtis, husband of Cody Curtis, whose life and death are chronicled in the new documentary How to Die in Oregon. Peter, this film is very difficult. I'm sure you've heard after the Sundance mm-hmm. Film Festival, a lot of people told you that it's difficult to watch. You must have known that making this, that you are making a film that would people would find a hard time watching.
Well, I think I did know that, but I don't think that aspect, you know, really dissuaded me from wanting to make the film. You know, I think that there are many documentaries that are difficult to watch. This is certainly, I think, can be for some people one of them. But I think in a way that's, you know, what documentaries should do. They should be uncomfortable and they should challenge us. I don't think that this is, and this is something Stan and I have talked about, you know, we're sometimes surprised to hear how difficult it is for people to watch because it's not a violent film. It's not a scary film. It's a very compassionate film, and it's very much a love story. And I think because it is so real, and in a way because it's subtle, and it confronts the viewer with their own mortality, I think that's, I guess, for what's scary for people. But at the same time, it's a very gentle film, and I think a very life-affirming film. So my hope is that, you know, people take the leap of faith, if you will, or the risk in watching, you know, what has been portrayed maybe as kind of a scary film or certainly a scary topic. And I think that when people do take that that chance or that opportunity, they realize that, you know, as difficult as this may be, this is a conversation or this is an issue or this is a portrayal that, you know, we really need to see. And I think in a way we need more of.
You know, I was surprised, Peter, to hear people's reactions and people's reluctance to go see it. You must have had the same reaction, I imagine, with the number of extremely graphic war films that we see all the time, scary films. Let's leave horror movies even out of it, how gory they are. But even the more realistic filmmaking that is done these days, that's meant to portray very, very real situations, it seemed odd that people would hesitate to watch your documentary.
It does seem odd. And in fact, you know, because, you know, this is kind of talked about so much in regards to this film, I think I'm much more aware of, you know, when scary things are portrayed in the media. And so, for instance, we have this very, I find very kind of terrifying and disturbing footage coming out of some of the tornadoes that are happening right now. You know, live footage that's taken as a tornado is passing, and you hear people just, you know, screaming in terror. And this is just kind of broadcast in the middle of our afternoons, and we're okay with it. We're comfortable with it. And so I think there is a little bit of a disconnect But at the same time, I think that part of the reason that it is scary is because it hits so close to home, and because it's not easy to otherize in a way these stories, because this could be your wife, your mother, your children, and I think that's what hits home for people.
Stan, have you watched the entire movie?
Oh, of course, and my family as well. Yeah, and I think it is, you know, the family has quite religious factions. So it's interpreted differently in terms of how people internalize it. But I think they're very supportive of the very personal approach and the way it comes across as your choice.
You know, watching this film and watching your family, please correct me if I'm wrong, it would seem to me that watching the movie after and after Cody's death, as compared to what was actually being filmed, when clearly it was so very emotional, sometimes heart-wrenching, sometimes funny, but intense at all times, it would seem to me like you might have a different reaction or maybe even a different perspective on the entire experience once you watched the film of it.
You know, we view the film as sort of a happily ever after story. We certainly had a big celebration and a Cody-like party at the memorial, which also Peter filmed for our family photo album. So our interpretation of the film and the friends and the people in Portland that knew Cody is quite different and more life-affirming, actually, how to live each day at a time, as Cody said. And I think we see it differently. We read it differently. We're not shocked and awed. We were ready for death, and we were ready and working hard on the dignity part.
Peter, is that the message you expected to come away from this documentary from?
You know, this life-affirming message that comes out of the film, I don't think I was expecting necessarily to encounter. I didn't necessarily know what I would encounter on a human level, and that's why I wanted to make the film, was because I felt that story needed to be told, and it would probably be something that none of us would expect, you know, to come out of what could potentially be kind of a depressing film or a film that's you know, ostensibly just about death. And there's just, in a way, as much laughter as there is as there are tears, and I think that that really captures the spirit of who Cody was as a person and the way that her family chose to approach the end.
Peter Richardson is the director of the documentary How to Die in Oregon. Stan Curtis is the husband of Cody Curtis, who was in the film, featured in the film. How to Die in Oregon premieres tonight on HBO. And we want you to join the conversation about that story or anything else you hear. Head over to thetakeaway.org, read up on more, and share your take as well. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Lots of powerful reactions to both that law in Oregon and the whole issue of assisted suicide. You know how to reach us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.